Underwater. Whoa, I didn't think we'd be reviewing this one. I didn't think we'd even get a chance to discuss this movie. But, you know, it came out, and I actually just got out of the theater from seeing it, so I thought it would be important for me to put down my thoughts and let you guys know how the movie is. Welcome to Review After Watching. I'm Brandon Church. Apologies for my voice. It's a little nasally. The weather's been crazy, and so I'm getting congested throughout the day, and so right now it's just kind of really tough, I should say. But nothing compared to what Kristen Stewart, Vincent Cassell, and TJ Miller had to deal with in Underwater, because that was a test of endurance. So if you don't know, if you haven't seen the trailers for this film, this movie takes place underwater on this drilling station about 6 to 7 miles underneath the ocean surface. Down there, they're drilling for whatever. It's never really made clear, but whatever it is, it's important enough to have a whole crew down there. It's not just these guys. It's like an entire station. There's multiple stations placed around, and there's a drill site, there's a command post, there's a couple other places, all focused on gathering whatever resource they're gathering down there. I'm unsure of what it is, but that's what they're doing. And this movie starts off, I mean, it starts off with a bang. If you've seen the trailer, you see in the trailer, Kristen Stewart, she's brushing her teeth, and all of a sudden, just this huge rush of water just comes out of nowhere, and she's running for her life. And that is how the movie starts. Like, I thought, you know, when you see these type of things in the trailers, like, oh, okay, you know, they're going to introduce the characters. You're going to be like, oh, hey, what's going on? You're going to get to know them a little bit. And then the action takes place. No. Underwater does not play that game. It starts right from the moment you see in the trailer. She's there. The water starts rushing in, and she is running for her life. And the movie just goes. They don't set up exposition. They don't set up characters. They just go. And that sounds kind of negative, but it really isn't in this film, the way that they do it, because they're all panicking. And because it is an underwater station kind of being destroyed, they're more or less, you know, meeting whoever survived as they go through trying to escape themselves. So we follow Kristen Stewart's character, whose character name I actually don't remember. I think it's Zora or Zoe or something like that. No, it's Nora. Nora is her name of her character. So we follow Nora as right from that moment when the water rushes in all the way to the end. And we're seeing her journey and what's happening around her with the people that she interacts with her friends and people she doesn't even really know. They've all kind of come together during this tragedy and are trying to find a way to escape. Now, if you've seen anything, if you haven't seen anything on the posters and things, they keep alluding to something has awakened. And it's very much true. This is not just an underwater escape movie. This is not where they're just trying to get to the surface as fast as possible for their lives or at the end. But it is that. But on top of all of that, they're being stalked. They have no idea what they're being stalked by, but they can hear it and they see it. And over the course of the film, what they're being followed by starts to interact with them. And that adds even more tension to the already tension-filled movie. And that's kind of where I want to emphasize what I think this movie really succeeded at. It was providing tension. I mean, it's underwater. And so when you think of underwater, you think of it more as kind of like an analogous with space. It's an unexplored region, something that we don't really know the full depths of. And so a lot of times when movies feature underwater, it's kind of like that, right? They don't really get the sense of being underwater and what that pressure means and exactly how dangerous it is down there. But this movie not only captures that, it captures the claustrophobia. Even though it's a wide open space, I mean, you're in the middle of an ocean, right? You're underneath the ocean. It's wide open space, but you're so far down, you can't see anything. So if you lose your lights, you're just in a vast darkness of nothing. And what's actually scarier to me personally is when they have their lights on, because then you can see just how little you can see around you. Like, the lights don't travel that far. Like, maybe there's a couple of scenes actually where characters were walking next to each other. And he was like, man, I can't see anything. And he had to walk super close in order to be able to see the character he was with. And that was really, really, it just grabbed me. I have a thing about small spaces. I'm not like claustrophobic or anything. I can ride in elevators and all that stuff. But in movies that do it right, it makes me very uneasy. It makes me antsy. I just like, oh man, I don't know if I could do that. And they're doing that kind of thing throughout this film. They're crawling through tight spaces. They're swimming through tight little canals. They're doing all of these things that really give you the sense of helplessness and unfamiliar surroundings. And that is paramount. I know it's kind of crazy that I'm praising this movie because I didn't expect it. This is a Underwater. You know, it's a stupid little movie they threw out in January. You're thinking, it's not going to be that good. It's going to be kind of trash. And to be honest, it's not the best movie I've ever seen, but it is. I had extremely low expectations going in. And so coming out of it, I'm extremely surprised and happy. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought it was a really good use of not only the atmosphere of where they were and how dangerous that was, but also adding this element of being stalked by a creature. That just made it 10 times worse, especially when you can't see where it's coming from. Even if you had all of your lights, all of your equipment was functioning perfectly, you still can't see. And that made it terrifying. Now, when the trailer first came out, I gotta be honest with you, when the trailer first came out, I was suspicious. I was very, very suspicious because it's underwater and they're drilling. And the first thing that popped into my head, because, you know, in the trailer, I think they show little hints of creatures. I was like, oh, this is gonna be like a Cloverfield thing. Like, this is gonna be like the origin of the Cloverfield monster. Now, I don't dig deep into that lore of Cloverfield. I know a lot of people have. But if I understand it just broadly, there was a company was doing some digging in a place that they shouldn't have been digging, and they awoken a monster. And then that monster came on land and started, you know, doing what it did, and we've seen all the other movies. Of course, this movie was not produced by Bad Robot, which is J.J. Abrams' company, and I believe he owns the rights to the Cloverfield franchise. So that kind of threw a little bit of the brakes, put a little bit of the brakes on my theory. But I still thought, maybe he's really, really trying to make up for the Cloverfield paradox, that Netflix exclusive that they released last year that just totally bombed and nobody liked. I mean, it just wasn't a good film. Put aside the fact that it was supposed to tie into the Cloverfield universe in some way. I mean, it did, but it was like, what? It was just not a good film. At least I enjoyed it a little bit, but it left me wanting. It left most people wanting. And so I thought, okay, maybe he's just trying to do a redemption thing by not telling you what it is, by not revealing it. And then you get in there and it's just a big surprise and everybody's like, oh, and then Cloverfield's back on track. But it's not that. It's not that at all. Though you can certainly see why I would make those comparisons. And if you watch the movie, you'll get that feel in some places. Not exactly Cloverfield-esque. You know, that's a giant monster. But you will get the feel of this creature that you can't see that's attacking you, right? And that's what that's the similarities that I can compare to. So this movie, I think, is a really nice surprise for a film that came out in January. And I actually encourage people to watch it. Kristen Stewart, you know, she's not the greatest actress. I don't think that she's great. But I do think that she has improved. In the last few movies that I've seen her in, she's getting better. Now, I don't know if she's on the level of Robert Pattinson. I think that he's actually a very good actor. Surprisingly, he was much better than the material he was given in Twilight. And it's shown throughout the movies he's chosen and the film roles. And he's getting more and more big productions. He's in that new Christopher Nolan movie, Tenet. Because he's shown his strength and he has a very good agent who's putting together a really good filmography for him. But Kristen Stewart is improving. She's not great. She's not the best, but she's not bad. I didn't hate her. I thought she carried the movie well. She made me interested in her character. I believed her interactions, but she did do the mouth breathing thing, though. Like, there were so many times I saw it, she's just with her mouth open breathing. Now, you can forgive that a little bit because this is a horror film. So, I mean, she's going to be terrified. And when you're terrified, you typically breathe with your mouth open. That happens. But it just, I don't know. You noticed it. It's one of those things that it's a quirk of hers that I noticed. But it didn't take away from the film. It didn't ruin her character or really overpower any scenes. It's just something that I personally noticed. But everybody else surrounding her was great. T.J. Miller is, as you expect him to be, he's a little pulled back in this. He's not quite as over the top as he can be, which I think was nice. He was a perfect balance between snarky, comedic, and also competent. You know, he was able to do some things in this film, and I enjoyed that. Vincent Cassell, always a good actor. If you don't know who he is, he plays the captain in this film. And as soon as you see him, you'll recognize. You'll be like, oh, that guy. I know who that guy is. You just may not know him by name. And I think overall, it was a successful venture. If you went to go see this in the theater, I don't think you'd be disappointed. If you wanted to just go out and see a dumb little horror movie that's going to leave you frightened and claustrophobic and just kind of leave you with a sense of unease, you can't go wrong. And they don't do the jump scare thing. I think they did it maybe once or twice. I can't even recall. But this movie is all about tension and suspense. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Sphere with Dustin Hoffman. That movie's all about suspense and tension. It's classified as a horror film, but it's not really horror. It's more like you're just so uneasy because you never know what's going to happen next. And it's completely, anything can happen. And I got some of that in this film. It's not nearly as successful as Sphere. I don't want to say that because it's not. That movie, I think, was one of the most tense films I've ever seen. This movie underwater did keep you engaged. You felt uneasy the whole time. There were very few moments where you could kind of sit back and relax and you felt a little bit comfortable. And I mean, very few. And if they did occur, they were very quick. So if you're looking for something like that, just to kind of make your whole body tense up, this will be the movie for you. I do think that it is worth watching. It's arguable whether or not it's worth watching in the theater. I can't even speak today. It's arguable if it's worth watching there, but it had really good sound, and it's always nice sometimes to see these movies on the big screen. I think that you might lose a little bit if you see it at home where you're a little bit more comfortable. Going to a place where, you know, it's not home, you're not as relaxed, you're not in your underwear with some socks with a bowl of popcorn, you're out, maybe might add a little bit to the film. That's just my personal preference. You know, it doesn't really matter to some people, but that would be my recommendation. So if you're interested in something like that, I say give it a shot. Go out there and see it. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. It's one of the January releases that's actually not a dud. They don't do that a lot. They really do not do that a lot. There's a lot of films that they just drop in January because they have nowhere else to put them, and they're trying to make as much money back as they possibly can. But I think this movie was actually better than it had any right to be. Also, on a side note, this is completely unrelated to the film. This is a Fox Searchlight production, or 20th Century Fox. I think it's just 20th Century Fox, which is funny because Disney bought them and they're going to be removing Fox from all of that. So it's not going to be 20th Century Fox. I think it's just going to be 20th Century Films or something like that. They have to get rid of the Fox name completely, you know, because Fox is still a business entity. Like, they can't just take it. They didn't own all of Fox, just their movie studio. So I found it funny that I saw it on the screen, and it actually made me kind of sad because I'm like, man, it's like all of these little small, quirky, you know, half good, sometimes half bad, other times films, they may not be around anymore. We're just going to get the big Marvel blockbusters or the big Disney films. You know, like, I like these small, low budget little one-offs, you know, those are interesting. And I'm hoping, I'm hoping that we continue to see that. I don't want Disney to just take over and then we get nothing but the same type of movies over and over and over. You know, we need to do something different. And you can put your hope on other studios, but Sony is not really knocking anything out of the park. Their mediocre movies are not that good. Like, in general, they're not good. And Universal, I mean, what's the last Universal movie you've seen? The Mummy? Like, I can't even think of one right now. You know, so there's kind of, there's going to be a little bit of a dearth of these types of movies. So get them in while you can, people. That would be my recommendation. But for now, that is our show. Thank you for listening. If you haven't heard, you should go back and listen to one of my announcement videos. Sorry. If you haven't, you should go back and listen to one of my announcements that I made not too long ago here on this feed. It'll give you a little insight into what's going on with Review After Watching and how things might change moving forward. I explain everything in that little audio clip, so you should probably take a listen to that if you've been wondering where we are or what's been going on. But if you're listening to this, thank you very much for your support, and we appreciate that you've continued to listen to us for all this time. Anyway, I am out. We will see you guys next time.
This has been an Audio Mind production.